I know that a lot of people said when the computer came up, yeah, this is a trend. We don't need this. Yeah. It's not optional. There is no, I'm not going to participate. You will be out when you don't participate.
But now it's not about being not ranked as good as possible regarding SEO. It's more about being the one answer. In terms, we are really changing from SEO to generative engine optimization or ANSA engine optimization.
Optimization, yeah. Just get started. Don't wait, try, learn, repeat that endlessly. Keep an open mind.
Don't close that back door of your store. Roll out the red carpet for all of the agentic buyers.
The Boardroom Memo, powered by Netconomy.
Welcome to the Boardroom Memo, Netconomy's podcast about the future of commerce, customer relationships, and digital business. In this episode, we explore agentic commerce and how intelligent agents could reshape the way companies buy, sell, and build customer loyalty. Today's guests are Manuela Fritzl, Head of Consulting at Netconomy, and Daniel Reicher, Customer Director at Netconomy. Let's get into it.
So last week I had a very interesting conversation with somebody who said, actually, we decided we don't really participate in agentic commerce, and that got me thinking, and I tried to find a good metaphor for it. And it's like storing your best products that you have in a physical warehouse and locking the door and turning all of the lights off. Yeah. I think that's the best example I could think of, because customers will eventually use it, and the change is coming and it's already there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a statement to say I'm not going to participate. And I think you can take that back to all of the big changes that happened over time. I do remember there were a lot of people, or I don't remember because that doesn't fit age-wise, but I know from reading and stuff that a lot of people said when the computer came up, yeah, this is a trend. We don't need this.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever have, no household will have a computer. It will be just an office thing. And now you basically have a computer in your pocket, sometimes like on your finger or something.
Yeah.
And it will be the same with agentic. It's not optional. There is no, I'm not going to participate. You will be out when you don't participate.
Totally agree with that. I mean, agentic commerce, in my opinion, is really the biggest shift there was to commerce as such.
Yeah.
So e-commerce started, 25 years ago? And since then, we optimized everything for human eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The two of us, we have been in so many conversations arguing if the buy button should be green or light green or dark green, whatever fits better, in order to increase conversion by a very little percentage. Mm-hmm. But what we see now is a total shift. So human psychology, so what we optimize towards, doesn't apply anymore.
And I mean, it's going to be interesting because it's not just human psychology. It's also that when you buy something for the first time, and you, I also do that, and I know a lot of people who do that, you do research and then you sort of, you fall in love a little bit with a brand or a product based on that research and what you see and you're also much more forgiving.
Mm.
Because once you're at that stage, we're like, okay, this is the product of my selection. I'm going to order it. And then you see, oh, I don't know, it's 60 euros shipping, you're already hooked. You're in love. You want it. And you say, okay, I'll pay the 60 euros. The agent doesn't care. The agent is just like, okay, you're out of the selection process. And I think a lot of companies are not ready for that and are also not ready to show more of themselves that's on their own sides. I think this is also a very important point, because the agent will not just go on your own side and basically how you present yourself. It's like a Tinder profile where you say, I'm the best, I'm awesome, please swipe right. But an agent will look everywhere. They will also check Trustpilot, they will check Reddit forums where a lot of conversations happen, and they can do that in seconds. And that might completely shift the agent's perception of your product.
I think it will completely shift. So the agent doesn't really care about images or very expensive video productions or the best Instagram clip where a lot of influencers highlighted that product. It really cares about data and hard facts. And as you said before, there is only a millisecond of time where the agent will have a look on your data. Mm-hmm. Either you have a good connector or you don't, or mm-hmm. you have structured data or you don't. Mm-hmm. And in that millisecond, it's going to decide if this option is considered mm-hmm. compared to others or just simply ignored. And I think one thing a lot of companies forget, it will be more and more about speed and availability mm-hmm. of data, because the agent has one priority: to serve you as mm-hmm. the customer or user. You have an intent. You say, buy me that product. I want to get it delivered by Saturday. I need it for this and that mm-hmm. purpose. And it really cares about speed and data structure.
Yep.
And if your website does not give, or your storefront does not give me those answers and does provide me with the data, it is simply skipped. Mm. And I very much like to compare it with all of the conversations we were in the last decade about search engine optimization. How can you rank one or two positions higher in Google? Yeah. How can you get away from page two to page one? That were majority of the discussions we were in. Mm-hmm. But now it's not about being not ranked as good as mm-hmm. possible on SEO, regarding SEO. It's more about being the one answer. Mm-hmm. So in terms, we are really changing from SEO to generative engine optimization mm-hmm. or ANSA engine optimization.
Optimization, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm in a lot of projects customer-wise. You see a lot as well. Honestly, I haven't seen any customer so far who is ready for that. There's like bits yeah. and pieces happening, but a lot is still very inaccessible. Mm. And also a lot of information is outside of the control of the customer, which is going to be interesting, because this will, like, everybody's always talking AI, jobs will change, jobs will like be gone in the future. But I think there will also be much more new jobs because, of course, as I said already, the AI doesn't just look at your store and what data you provide. It also goes very much into how are you seen on this big, big black hole that is the internet. And I think there will be a lot of opportunities for companies also to sort of say, we want to proactively manage that. We want to go out there. We want to analyze that. We want to influence that in a real way. So not just with bot content on Instagram, but really manage that. And personally, I'm hoping a bit also it might reflect in quality of some products, because it's going to become more important. But yeah, honestly, nobody's ready for that. Nobody has invested in it and nobody has thought about it.
I totally agree with that. And I would even increase that statement in saying the cards are completely newly dealt now with agentic commerce. Mm-hmm. There will be companies who are experimenting in the right direction. And there are companies right now that they really miss the trend and they really don't care about it right now. And that's the part I don't understand, because there are so many studies out there and so many figures already available.
Mm-hmm.
Just one to drop one figure, McKinsey stated that by 2030, $3 to $5 trillion. That's the market volume we are speaking about, right?
Comparable, a crazy number.
Yeah, it's comparable to the GDP of Germany.
I mean, if you compare that, it's more money than Elon Musk has.
Yeah, it is. That's
already true. Is an absurd. Sum of money.
Which is, and then just saying, you know, we deal with that as a small side project mm-hmm. and we are a bit creating a couple of POCs here and experimenting a bit here is not merely enough, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. And right now we invested a lot of money in optimizing everything to care about human emotions. I mean, just think about a production of picture production or video production, mm-hmm. how much money that costs and how much is invested. Mm-hmm. But compare that to the small budgets that are available for agentic commerce mm-hmm. Prototypes or any development in that direction. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of focus right now on it, and not enough.
And I think this is also where I see a lot of companies running into the wrong direction, because they treat it purely as an, yeah, we do a POC, it's driven by the IT mm-hmm. department, let's see what happens. And that's something that I very strongly also recommend against doing, because you always need to check the process first. You want to optimize the process as best as possible. You don't just want to have a playground where maybe something nice comes out. And housing, especially agentic prototypes purely in IT, can just fail, in my opinion.
You definitely got a point there. And the thing is, we are speaking here about the core of every business, and especially every retail business. You want to position your product, you want to sell your products in the end. And for that, you need describing data, and you need a lot of attributes for every product. And the last 25 years, we optimized everything in a way that a user can see it on the page, they can read through it. There are words that really apply to your specific emotions.
Yeah.
But an agent or within agentic commerce, that becomes irrelevant. Mm. And that's the big shift we are in right now.
Mm. And I mean, I also think what becomes more irrelevant is that you only buy with one company.
Mm.
Because if you like really nerd out on things like expensive coffee machines, they have a lot of parts and accessories and stuff. And usually you become sort of loyal to one brand and you purchase also the periphery from that brand. But the agent doesn't necessarily have to do that. They can basically create a multi-basket from a lot of different companies to match exactly what you need. So also that upselling potential, cross-selling completely changes.
I think that's a very nice example, because maybe even the coffee machine research will stay, because I have a good coffee machine myself.
Same.
So I like to invest my time in that and doing the research. But when it comes to accessory, honestly, I really don't care. Mm. But if I'm on the web page of this specific producer of the coffee machine, and then it shows me, listen, you could add this and that to the basket because you will anyway need it, I'm tempted to do that.
Yeah, because it's convenient.
It is convenient, true. And it is shown directly in front where I am right now. But if the customer journey is completely changing, or honestly speaking, not really there anymore, because you just give a task to an agent and say, listen, I have bought this coffee machine, or I want to buy this coffee machine, add all the accessories that I need, and try to get them as cheap as possible and in the best quality as possible.
Yeah.
And by the way, it should be delivered to my house on Saturday, because that's when I want to brew my first espresso.
Exactly. And I think this is also something a lot of companies are not thinking about.
Yeah.
And it might be something where I can see more partnerships developing between brands, which would be cool, because they could like try to get placed together in the AI ranking. Which again diversifies the market. So I don't just see the trend as something negative, which a lot of people do. Oh, we're all going to be automated away and everything, you know, Skynet will be done by machines. But it's really also something where I see it could also uplift smaller brands a lot if they do it right. And it could lead to more diversification on the market, because the single brand thinking is a human convenience thing and the agent doesn't need convenience.
But that means that also customer loyalty completely changes, right?
Yes.
I mean, you think about a brand and you say, I have this specific product. It worked out perfectly. Mm. Of course, I'm going to rebuy from that brand. And if I like the colors of the brand, if I like the UI of the webpage or the app, obviously I'm using that. But if I'm just giving a task to an agent and saying, listen, buy me this and that, the agent doesn't care about brand love or loyalty. Mm. So that's a big influencer.
Yeah, that's something we're looking at a lot at the moment, how loyalty changes. And I think this will definitely be massively impacted by agentic commerce, because all of these earn and burn mechanisms that usually lead to a first transaction, they will become less and less important. And you need to really focus on getting loyalty through personal interaction, through special moments you give the customer, because earn and burn I can get everywhere, and then the agent can find the best cheapest discount for me. I don't need to do that myself, but the agent on the outside then needs to know, did I like the brand, did I not like it, what did they give me, what additional things do I value, like I don't know, the brand sent me a letter for the birth of my child, which some companies do because they know you bought pregnancy-related products, and then I could feed that back into the agent.
The thing is about that discussion, I don't think that it's black or white, right? So whenever I speak with anyone in the direction of agentic commerce, everybody is always arguing, yeah, then the agent is only caring about the price, which is not true in the end, because you as a user, and users will develop as have our usage of ChatGPT and all of those LLMs also changed. Like at the beginning, we prompted completely different than everyone is doing right now. So it's a learning process. Mm-hmm. The same will be true for agentic commerce. When I task an agent with something, there will be more attributes I will give to that specific task. And I won't say just buy the cheapest.
Mm.
So that's also not how it works today, right? You also don't go in the shop and say, I'm always looking for the cheapest product. Yes. And the same will be in agentic commerce. But whenever there are attributes I provide, for example, it has to be a sustainable brand, or it has to be the one with the best quality, the agents will care about proof.
Yes.
And that's something that is heavily underestimated right now, because just adding this is the best quality product and this is sustainable won't be enough. So there need to be certificates, there need to be things proving it, there need to be articles around it. So a lot of know-how that is accessible to the agent.
And also I think what's going to be interesting there is because right now a lot of companies, they are starting to use AI, but they're using it is completely in the wrong way for agentic commerce, because they right now use it to generate fake blog entries where a fake writer praises the product. There is tons of fake comments on Amazon. Of course, they have improved now, and to the untrained eye, they look pretty human. But the agent will know that those are AI-generated comments, AI-generated articles. They can distinguish that pretty quickly. So a lot of the investments that companies are now making to fake relatability and to fake human acceptance, basically, will be irrelevant, because the agent will be like, nope, not trustworthy. We're not taking that. So that's also interesting, because there the human factor will become more important and not less important, because you need real content from real people.
And structured in a way that it is accessible to the agent. And that's also one part that shouldn't be underestimated. We, over the last couple of months, have read a lot about the different protocols that are in place, right? So just speaking about UCP and ACP and A2A protocols. So there's technically a lot that has evolved right now, but I think most of the companies are not ready for it yet. You mentioned at the beginning internal processes. So that's one big part that is heavily underestimated. That needs work.
Yeah.
Needs work. But also the IT side needs to adapt to it. And it's a big change that it is coming. And whenever we speak about those protocols, a lot of people just mention, it's like a USB-C adapter, which is technically right. But there is more behind it. It's not just opening up whatever you have right now to the agent, it's also optimizing whatever you have right now for an agentic buyer. And for the next couple of years, again, this won't be black and white. It won't be a complete switch from human buyers to agentic buyers. So there will be a dual stream necessary. But it is not enough if I just optimize my storefront for the human eye and just ignoring that there is a silicon-based consumer who cares about totally other stuff than the human eye.
I mean, you mentioned an interesting point, and I've been thinking about this, about protocols and all of that stuff. And we deal a lot with very large enterprises, and those still tend to have the tendency to build everything themselves because they think it's more secure, more efficient, whatever. But I think also with these protocols, it will be like, do you choose the right protocols to fit your market? A good example for that is Microsoft Teams, Zoom, and Google Meet. Three different technologies, and then there is conference software, and you kind of can't find a conference software that can do everything in a meeting room. You either go with that or you go with that. And I think something similar might happen with all of these protocols, and you need to choose very wisely in which direction you go. So are you going to lock yourself into this one, or how do you optimize? It's also a bit similar to payment providers. What do you offer? What do you not offer? And I think nobody has thought about these decisions also from a business perspective. Where do we want to go?
That's right. And that's one of the big fears I'm also hearing in a lot of conversations. But I don't fully agree with that, because I don't think that with those protocols you have that much of a locked-in effect if you decide to start with one. Also, I don't think that it will be a complete A or B decision. Mm. Either I go that way or I go that way. Mm. So there will be a mixture between it.
And I'm hoping for it.
There for sure will be. And the more you experiment and start early, the more you also start to optimize your data. And that will be the basis for whatever protocol is needed. Mm. And if you ask me personally what has more chance, because we see a lot of news and we see what is technically done right now, I would always tend to follow those companies that have proven in the past to be able to do something. And
yeah, but as I said, a lot of large enterprises are like, I'm going to do it myself. And I think this will hopefully die out a little bit,
yeah,
and that we get more and more standards there. So go away from this, we need to do everything ourselves, host everything ourselves.
Yeah, but we can already see that. We can see that there is a lot of standardization already ongoing. And for example, just mentioning UCP, so the Universal Commerce Protocol from Google, I think that goes in the right direction because it is publicly available to everyone. It is not something they charge for.
Yeah.
It's just a plug they are providing and saying, okay, this is basically the requirements that you should fulfill as a store. This is what you tell me as an agent, what your store is capable of. So can you do transactions on an agent's behalf, etc.? And it's kind of like a universal language that will be used. And whenever such standards are applied, and I often like to compare it to HTTP, for example, on the internet, it is also a standard that started and is widely used and is forming the basis of the internet right now. And the same will be true for those agentic protocols. Whether it is agents communicating with each other, so these A2A protocols, it's important that something like that was created, but is also regarding how storefronts tell an agent of what they are capable of doing.
Yeah. I mean, but not the heretical question. Would you give Google or ChatGPT your credit card information right now?
That's the right question. And honestly speaking, I won't have a problem with giving my credit card information to Google because I know that they can already handle safe transactions. Same for Apple Pay, for example. I mean, I know that you also use it, so that's not the issue. Right now, I would be personally more afraid of tasking an agent with high valuable transactions without having total influence on what the decision might be.
Yeah.
So I think we are kind of in a step in between right now. And to create that trust needs time. But we can see that we are already at a stage where users start experimenting.
Yeah.
And a slow market is forming. For retailers, the concerning thing right now is the speed of of that and how fast that is happening. So especially with transactions that might be below 500 euros or something, I think it will go way faster.
But you made an interesting point there because you said specifically for retailers, but like we also have a lot of B2B customers. And I do see a lot of potential for agentic layers there to also become multi-layered agents that do stuff, order stuff, interact with one another. But of course, there then the volume is not 500 euros. It might be, I don't know, 5 million euros if it's a large plant and you have agents ordering parts for something that might stop working because of predictive data. And there I see an even bigger risk that those get left behind because there a lot more infrastructure is needed also, not just storefront-wise to the consumer, to the agent, but also in the background. A lot more systems need to be connected, need to talk to one another, need to share data. You have a lot more potential points of failure. And there I'm really curious to see how these big B2B giants deal with that because they're also notoriously slow to change.
Totally agree. But I would also like to add the positive side because especially those B2B transactions are the one that are creating a lot of overhead because they usually take a lot of time, a lot of people involved in negotiating. Just think about a casual example, an RFP, right? So within B2B, we often are confirmed with confronted with RFPs, right? And an RFP usually takes somewhere between 1 to 6 months, maybe even. Mm. A lot of people are involved, presentations, sharing of content, evaluating on the other side, comparing, negotiating, and then sharing again. So there is a lot of back and forth. And I am convinced that a huge part of that can be taken over by agents communicating with each other and negotiating with each other, and not in 6 months, in a time frame of 6 months, but in a time frame of a couple of milliseconds. Mm. So both sides will have a complete different basis of decision making. In the first step and in the second step, maybe the decision is even done for them, and we just prioritize the transaction itself.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I have another perspective that we like played around with a lot. There was the topic of accessibility and the EU Accessibility Act and everything. And a lot of the things you do to optimize accessibility on your pages are paying into the same things that you need for agentic commerce to work. But if you think that a step farther, and that is something I am very excited about, allowing agents to do tasks and perform tasks also opens up a whole new layer of inclusivity for people who are currently left out of traditional shopping experiences or traditional consumer experiences. And that doesn't necessarily have to be something as like a completely blind person. It could be a person with motion sickness who cannot deal with sites where a lot of carousels are flashing and blinking and beeping all the time. People with bad eyesight, people who have currently some sort of motion restriction because they're wearing a cask or something. And agentic also allows them, again, more to participate in the market, which from an ethical standpoint, I really enjoy that, if you think about that way. And it's important to put that in because we hear a lot about AI is so disruptive and everybody's sort of scared of it. But there's also a lot of good it could potentially do.
I totally agree. And that's one important part. And the other part, which might apply to everyone, is just simply the freed up time. I mean, think about how much time you're usually spending in comparing products with each other, how much time you're spending on the particular websites, reading through reviews, reading through product descriptions, seeing if it's something specifically you have a space for at home and you don't know if the measures will fit. You look on a product and then after 20 minutes reading through everything, you figure out, okay, the dimensions do not really fit. So you just wasted a lot of time and energy. Yeah. And I think generally the world is getting more fast-paced with everything. I mean, we have short-form content. Most of the people are not able to watch a 30-minute video to the end because they already get distracted in the midst of it. So there's just a big change within human psychology and how we as humans behave with technology. Mm-hmm. So we want to get all of the information now, and we want to be done with a certain task real quick. Yeah. And I think we are right now at the stage where this is already possible, and it will go way more in that direction. So things are changing. And the good thing about it is that time will be freed up, which I can use otherwise, maybe out in the nature and away from the screen, which would be also good. But for coming back to what will change for retailers, we have to understand that agentic commerce is not just automating, because we had that, right? I mean, Amazon introduced it, 5 years ago, even more. With Alexa, just keep repurchasing stuff that I anyway need.
Which didn't work so well, I heard.
Yeah, first of all, it didn't. And I think the world thought that it will impact everything way more. Mm. But we have to understand this was like a stupid cron job. So a simple automation task, like every 30 days, repurchase that because I will anyway need it. Now we are moving in a direction where I just give an intent and the whole reasoning is done over by the agent. So the agent itself decides, do you really want to keep on using that product? Is that still the right supplier for it? Mm. Or do I get it somewhere else with a better delivery condition or in a better quality or a better quantity? Is it, does it make more sense to order it only once every 6 months because you will save in delivery costs? Like, those are all considerations that a human does not need to make anymore because, but the agent is taking over it.
But how, to go more again in the negative side, how do, are we sure that the reasoning behind is unbiased? Because that's also a big, big topic right now on the AI market. Like, most, all AI models are biased because humans are biased and the data we use to train them is biased. Mm-hmm. How do we get better? I have no answer to that.
I don't either. So it's a very good question, and it will have a big impact on agentic commerce and in where things are moving towards. Mm-hmm. And to even add on top of that, we did not consider the throwing in money part, right?
The same with SEO. Like, you can't pay to be the first ranked. It's not a fair.
I mean,
game.
It's not a business model. It's the business model of one of the biggest companies worldwide, right? They always, you always paid to be on the front leading page. You paid to be to one of the first 3, 4, 5 links mentioned. And nobody even clicked on sites page 2 on Google, right? Because you don't have time for it. So
it's the saying, if you're on page 2 of Google, you're dead or something like that.
Yes. And right now is if you're not mentioned by AI, you're dead. Mm. But also Google is changing. I mean, I don't know how much you have already played around with AI mode of Google. There is no this link-based result.
Yeah.
It's more
you
textual.
Always get the AI mode first.
You will get right to the answer of your question. So there is no need to click on a link. And agentic commerce is doing the same thing, but it is showing you, not only showing you the product, it is checking out the product for you.
Yeah.
And Google itself is completely transforming right now. But I don't think that they will just take their business model and throw it in the bin. Mm. So I'm pretty sure that there will be a payment part connected to it, where you,
they are a business, they have to make money somehow. Everybody wants to hop on the train,
and it's not just Google, right? Google is one example, but all of the other key AI players will hop on that train. If you want your product to be shown or outputted by an AI or recommended by an AI, you will eventually have to pay for it. It's, again, not a or B direction, so it will be a mixture, because just recommending paid for products will also not solve it, because the user will quite heavily be disappointed by the AI, because you want to have a big overview of products that are compared with each other, and then you want the agent to select really the right one and not only the one where the biggest brand is behind, was able to afford putting a lot of money on this ranking. So it will be a mixture.
I'm curious how that will go, and also again, usually such ways of working then also inspire small rogue alternatives to come up, so I'm excited also for that. Like example Google, and then you have Ecosia, which is a free to use equivalent based on open models, which plants trees for every search, which I find really nice. And such big corporate decisions usually inspire good things in people as well to come up with. And I'm curious to see those. But yeah.
So I wonder one thing, because you're also in a lot of conversations with big companies and big retailers, and we all are aware there is a change here. And we all are aware agentic commerce is approaching quite quickly. Why aren't more assets freed up for that? Why aren't more budgets freed up and more focus put on that topic?
I think it's twofold. One, I think you still have parts of companies, and that's also with no disrespect, I think a little bit to the structure of leadership, age, demographic, stuff like that, where they're like, we're just going to sit it out. It's going to be fine. If we sit it out, we can dodge this, which we already said that won't work. And then I think there are a lot of companies who don't want to be the first to fail, because at the moment there is no playbook. Nothing is written. There is just, you can try it out and it might work or it might not. And you can't really look at learnings or failures from other companies. Nobody wants to be this first person to fail, which I personally think is a mindset that limits you a lot, because you can learn a lot from failure. You basically have taken the first step to improving when you fail once. But this is a mentality problem more than it is a technology problem. And I think it's also a how you approach it problem, because as I said, a lot of these POCs are purely IT driven, when in reality, especially for agentic projects, agentic commerce, you also need to consider the process and the people who are behind this process. So, for example, if you change how people create product data for their commerce shop and free up time, you need to adapt their job profile so that something is done with that freed up time. And I think a lot of companies don't see that complexity and they don't know how to staff such a project, right, internally and externally, so that both ends are met, so that the technical infrastructure works, but that you also serve the process and the people behind it and get the best out of it. And that is slowly changing. I know some companies are starting to look at process and people first and then check how can we help that with AI and agentic. But as you also said, a lot are stuck in this POC hell where they're just chasing the next shiny use case that might not even fit for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And this big surge of looking for that specific use case, like looking for the holy grail, that's ongoing since years now, right?
And it never works, honestly.
It never works. We know that AI started. We know that a lot has happened in the last couple of years, and the speed is enormous. And honestly, I really get it. It's very hard to keep up. I mean, how much time are we investing every day just here at Netconomy in researching what is possible, what changed, which new model was released yesterday? And it is time consuming to keep up, but it is important. And I have the impression that a lot of business owners are kind of saturated. So AI topic started, then it was put on every roadmap, every agenda, then somehow the expectation went from zero to sky high. So everyone expected AI to be able to automate everything, to help with every process. And then it kind of hit hard on them that that was not immediately the case. Because as you said, you can't just take a broken process, throw AI on top of it with a small investment, and then think everything is going to work out. That's a part that did not happen. And we see that in figures also. 80% of all of the POCs that were started failed eventually and did not lead to that result that the company wanted to achieve. And so I think all of that piled up towards a stage where everyone is aware that AI in general changes a lot already and will change even more. Then agentic AI approached and everyone said, okay, now that's the part where things will really speed up and take up. And organizations just can't keep up with that pace. The bigger the organization, the more compliance is there, the more governance, you mentioned governance at the beginning, the more governance layers are needed and the more certainty needs to be there in order to kick off a big project. And I understand that and I totally get that. But still, I think especially for agentic commerce, mindsets need to be changed because we don't have 3 to 5 years to start and kick off. There will be companies out there and there will be competitors starting right now or that have already started 6 months ago. And those will be the companies that succeed in the end because they will build up the necessary know-how internally. They will select the right partners to work with. And they will experiment and maybe also fail at the beginning in a couple of use cases and tasks, but they will be the ones who really understand agentic commerce and in the end will be the ones taking over a lot of that market portion that is out there. And to highlight that again, 3 to 5 trillion by 2030.
It's massive.
It is massive. And it's a big part of the overall global market that is shifting towards agentic commerce.
You made an important point there when you said POCs were done, but they failed to reach the goal. And then people sort of got saturated. And I think this is also part of the issue that I currently see, especially with agentic, because agentic doesn't just mean you have ChatGPT or Gemini referring to your site. You could also have agentic layers on your own commerce store, which most know currently as the chatbot that nobody likes because it's stupid, but those will evolve as well into something smart and cool. But there I really see, why do such POCs fail? They fail because nobody sets an actual goal at the beginning. Nobody says, what is the metrics we want to improve by this? I have an example. A lot of companies are investing in agentic bot structures that recommend product bundles because they think that customers cannot do that themselves. It's purely on assumption, and they don't measure, okay, what is then, is it successful when 100 people click the bot? Are we successful when 100 transactions are made? What about if 99 of those 100 transactions are sent back because the bot recommended the wrong things for some reason? So what does success look like with agentic commerce is a question nobody asks. And then they just build something and then like, yeah, okay, is this successful? We don't really know actually, but nobody's using it. It must be a failure. And maybe that's just a matter of a perspective shift also, because in normal commerce, it was clear your intent is to people have to buy your stuff. That's the success metric. But I think with agentic layers, these metrics get more varied on when the agentic thing itself is successful than just purely the product was bought, because you have a lot of levers that you can take. And so projects must become more strategic first and IT later, and then strategy and IT in very close connection. And there a lot of companies need to also invest in educating their people to think more in goals, KPIs, not in a bad way, not in a like your performance is measured, but more what are we working towards? Are we just using AI for using AI's sake, or how does, and you can break that down.
Like sprinkle that on AI on every roadmap, right?
Yeah, and it's also, that's why a lot of companies fail to adopt AI internally, because you just say, okay, everybody has to use AI now. Every member in my organization gets a ChatGPT Pro account or whatever. Everybody use it, but figure it out yourselves what you use it for. That's going to fail because people are people and people need a North Star. So you need to say, what do I want to enable as an organization with AI? And then people will find their way into it.
So we touched on fears, right? A bit when speaking to business owners.
Fears and optimism.
Yeah, fears and optimism. But when it comes to fears, one of the base conversations I hear a lot is this fear of disintermediation. So right now, all of the retailers, they own the customer journey, right? So everyone wants to have users on their website scrolling through, looking on the newsletters and like really owning that relationship. And when it comes to agentic commerce, I think the biggest fear is losing that relationship. Now, I always like to compare it to my store, my physical store that I have. And I know that there are new customers or customers that are not willing to take the front door anymore, but they would like to come in through the back door. And rather than rolling out the red carpet on the back door and saying, obviously, you also allowed in, I don't close the front door, I also open up a back door and allow them in, they are just closing it and shutting the door completely and saying, no, this is money we don't want. Those are users, and specifically the agents, we don't want buying on our side. And that's the discussion I don't really get, because nobody would ever say no to additional purchasers on my side. And it's not that we decide to close the front door of the store. It will be a dual stream.
Exactly.
And those users who like to take the back door, so the agents shopping for them, they will anyway do it. Doesn't matter if your back door is open, another one will be.
Mm, yeah. And I think it's also a wrong statement, because you're not losing the customer journey. You're just, the journey is just different.
Yeah.
And you still very much are in control of that journey. You're in control of how you structure your data. You're in control of what information you give so that you're attractive. It's just that the packaging must be multidimensional, and you can still have a commerce shop, a front where you can be pretty and blinky and shiny lights. But then you can have data in the background that is especially tailored to agentic. So you're just serving. It's basically you're treating the agent like you would any other customer persona, and you give it its own journey. It's not stealing somebody else's journey, but it has to get its own journey.
And we are used to optimize for journeys, right? I mean, how many millions are invested in marketing, optimizing campaigns for a specific user group? Organizations free up so much money for that part because they know how it influences buying decisions. Now we know that data structure influences buying decisions or consideration decisions of an agent, but we don't free up the budgets to deal with that.
Exactly.
Because we are afraid.
And that's what I meant. It's not rocket science, because you already do all of that stuff. You have your persona for, I don't know, your groups 15 to 25, the young students or teenagers. You give them attributes. You have it for families. You have it for, I don't know, young fathers. You have all of these extensive persona profiles. Just do the same for an agent. And you can have also multiple agent profiles, because that's going to be the future, where you have not just this one interface as also a consumer. You will have, I have one travel agent. I have one, I don't know, clothes agent who is like also my personal advisor. I have a beauty agent, whatever. I have a book agent, for example. You could really spin that. And those are just additional customers in your journey that need their own journey.
Yeah. And those are customers that right now might not be using agentic commerce or delegating their buying tasks to agents, but they will in 1 or 2 years. So we already see that this market is slowly changing, or actually not slowly, it's very quickly changing.
Yeah, I would argue.
And rather than forbidding the re-entry of those users who might have purchased with you before and always came in through the front door saying, we're not allowed to come in with your agent anymore, I don't think is the right approach.
Mm. But
Manu,
we're not going to close your shop. Like, Netconomy is not going to come and say, let's get rid of your UI. Nobody needs it anymore. That's not going to happen.
There will always be human buyers still. And that's the thing. Agentic commerce is approaching. It's changing how e-commerce fundamentally works, but it's not taking away everything that we have optimized and everything we have done, because we will still need it. We need that dual approach in future. We need to focus on a good looking and good working UX, a customer journey that really applies to my personas and the people I want to focus on. But on the other hand, I also need to put a lot of effort and focus on this back door, on my databases, on my connectors to agents. So allowing them in as well.
Yeah. And as I said before, it might help you as a company to free up also resources to focus more on your actual product.
Yeah.
Because the buyer might not be a human, but your user always will be a human. The person wearing, using, sharing your product is a person. So focus on that and just allow them to get to your product faster.
Yeah, totally agree. So Manu, maybe some closing words. If you're now sitting in front of one of those big retailers, business owners and C-level, what's one advice you would give them right now?
One advice? Just get started. Don't wait. Try, learn, repeat that endlessly. Keep an open mind. And also, don't stop, because I think a lot of companies say, if we change this one thing, all will be fine and everything is golden. but it's just, it's endless optimization. And there might be things in 2 years with agentic commerce that we can't even imagine right now. Could totally be. I mean, 5 years ago, I don't think we imagined using ChatGPT as much as we do now. I almost like...
Or Gemini.
So always be aware that something might hit you and that, as harsh as it sounds, your business model is never safe. And you?
I would say don't close that back door of your store. Roll out the red carpet for all of the agentic buyers. Optimize and don't lock it because you are afraid that additional buyers or different buyers might come. You're not taking away, you're adding. And I think that should be the mindset. Keep that door open and roll out the red carpet.
I like that.